Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast. Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And we're recording today live from Camp Bestival, which is exciting. Would you like to describe our surroundings?
We're in a guardian tent full of oversized bunting.
Yes.
And we smell quite bad.
Yeah, yeah. But our lovely guest smells wonderful, if a bit whiny. I mean that without an H. It gives me great pleasure to introduce Helen McGinn. Hello, Helen.
Hello. You don't smell that bad, by the way.
Oh, she's so polite.
So kind.
God, me. Helen Thorne smells a bit corked.
Take her back.
Yeah. So, Helen, you are the author of one of our favourite books ever, The Knackered Mother's Wine Club Guide. Have I got it right?
Yeah, you have. Yeah. Knackered Mother's Wine Club.
I was quite drunk when I read it, so I'm not sure. So you're a mother of three, you're a wine expert, an author, an award-winning blogger, and a very tired person.
I am very tired. I have to say I'm even more tired now after experiencing my first ever night at Camp Bestival.
Oh, yeah.
So I slept on a slope.
Oh, God, that's nice. Did you have to share a mattress or a bed with anyone?
I had a sort of half-deflated air bed.
Nice.
Oh, that's the tradition. Yes. That is the popular...
But we're in a teepee tent.
Oh,
yes.
Nice. Yeah,
with my sister and my mum.
Lovely.
And all the
family.
Yes. Cultural appropriation. Goodness me. I'm just saying it because I'm jealous. I'd give anything to be in a teepee. Absolutely anything. I'd wear a headdress all day long if it got me in a teepee.
Ellie's tent collapsed on her, so she was in like a tent coffin, weren't you?
I woke up in a fabric coffin. Yeah. It was, I thought I'd been buried alive in nylon. It's really frightening.
Oh dear.
So welcome. And we are so thrilled to have you as our special guest, aren't we?
Yes, we are very thrilled. So should we just kick off?
Go for it.
Go, Helen number one. I'll call you number one.
Can I just call you Thorn?
Yes.
Thorn. We're here again, Helen, and you, Thorn. Come on, Thorn.
It's like our university challenge.
It is.
Yeah, except with stupid people.
Thorn, from an Australian university, no points. Yes. So, should we kick off with telling us about the knackered I can't even say, I've had too much of the knackered nine.
How much have you had?
I'm literally necking a 750ml plastic bottle of rosé called
Pardon My French.
Pardon My French.
Yes.
Let's get your opinion on this, Helen, as a wine expert. What do you make of Pardon My French?
Well, I have to say, I love the fact that it's in a plastic bottle.
Oh, yeah. It's lovely.
Plastic practical. Bottles are good when you're camping. And I like the fact that, actually, Helen, it is only 11.5%.
Oh, damn.
So you're all right.
Okay.
You can have another glass. You'll
or
still be absolutely
bottle.
Fine. Or another bottle, yes.
I keep taking them from the Guardian fridge.
Yeah. Oh, are these from the Guardian fridge?
Yes.
And
Lucy Manga might hear you.
Yes. It doesn't tell us very much other than it's Van de France, so that doesn't give very much away, and it's rosé, so we don't know what grapes are in it.
I could have told you that.
You could have done.
It's a pink French wine. And it's complimentary, which
I
like.
Those, it's got the traditional description on the back, but the description is in Dutch.
Is it?
Which is always the sign of a quality French wine in my book.
Either that or the Guardian nicked it.
Could be.
Could be that.
Who knows?
Yes.
That's what it is.
I'm enjoying it anyway.
Good, so we've already dismissed the house wine. That's excellent.
Very nice.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll start again, shall I?
Why not?
Okay, so tell us about the Nakhad Mar... I can't say.
This is going to be... Nakhad Mar Daz Mar Club. Tell us about it. Are you doing accents again? You're not allowed to do accents on the podcast, Helen.
I know.
It's politically questionable, some of them. Come on.
Well, what are our rules, Ellie?
If it's white, it's all right.
Exactly. Not the others. Okay, so Knackered Mother's Wine Club blog. God, that's hard to say.
Well,
thank you,
done.
Helen. Okay, it's multi-award-winning.
Yeah, could you have just called it Helen's book?
Yes. It's the book. It's the blog.
Mother's.
Yes.
And it's multi-award-winning. And you got Red Hot Women Awards.
I did. And, ooh, yeah, no, that was in 2012,
yes.
I think. I didn't think there was anything out there that was just a down-to-earth wine guide for... I basically wrote it for my friends.
Yeah.
And it turns out that, you know, that I now have quite a lot of friends, which is lovely.
So you started off with, like, was it a weekly email just saying...
Yes, when I was a wine buyer for a supermarket, I used to email my friends, completely illegal, but I used to email them and say, don't buy the Chablis this week because next week it's got £1 50 off or whatever it was.
Oh, insider trading.
Yeah, but I don't work there anymore. So
okay,
it's
fine.
They can't get me. They have nothing. Nothing on me.
Master Stewart.
So the title of that email was the Knackered Mother's Wine Club because it went to a group of us who, you know how we all breed in batches, and
yes,
there was a group of us that all had our baby. So that was the email. And then I decided to turn that into a blog one night when I should have been doing something else, but starting a blog seemed like a good idea. So that's what I did, and I called it the Knackered Mother's Wine Club. And then that started blogging away. Two wines a week, every week, for the last 6 years.
And what I like is it one in the fridge, one on the shelf? Is that right?
One in the fridge and one in the rack.
In the
red
rack.
Red in the rack. White in the fridge, red in the rack.
That's it. Which I love. I just love. And one
you
day,
love a catchphrase.
I do.
You?
I do, yeah. Love a catchphrase. And at Christmas time, your red was Stoneyers.
Oh yes.
And that's what I got for Christmas because it's the winery down the road from my mum and dad.
It's not.
Yeah. Yeah, you drive past it on the way to mum and dad's house in Australia.
And that wine is just gorgeous.
Yeah, it made me feel very special that you'd selected like the
wine. I did it for you.
I know. We're married now.
We are.
Well, again, this is the last Scummy Mummies podcast with me, Ellie Gibson, on it. But I think the two Helens will be very happy together. Every episode now, you just make best friends with the guests. And I just sing here like chopped liver. Yeah. Getting very Ellie.
I love
very
this
podcast.
Yes.
Well, let's have some wine tips. Obviously, tip number one is buy your book, which I genuinely would recommend because it is great. And what I like about it as well is obviously it's got lots of practical stuff in, but it's really funny. Like, it feels like talking to a friend who actually knows stuff.
Yeah.
<You're> as learning. Opposed to you, Thorne. It's very, I just think it's really entertaining as well as being informative.
Well, somebody once said to me, and I cannot remember who it was, but it was I went to a, less hideous than it sounds, but I went to a blogging conference a few years ago, and a group of us were sitting in a room talking about how people blog, how you go about setting up a blog and all that kind of thing, and I do remember whoever it was saying write as you speak, and I just that really resonated with me because I think that, you know, it's not that I consciously did it, but I do know that that is what I do when I'm sitting there writing it. If I write something that's funny, I really do laugh out loud to myself.
And I can't imagine what that's like. I don't know what that's like. We never laugh at our own jokes, do we?
So crass.
You know what it's like when you feel like sort of ringing somebody and saying, that's hilarious.
We do know what it's like because we actually do that.
Yeah.
Listen to this joke I just wrote. Yeah. All right, thanks. Bye.
I know, one night I stayed up really late making up celebrity cheese names, and I was like, the next night, I was like, Ellie, celebrity cheese, and she's like, what do you want? But yeah, I know, there's
Can
something...
You please tell me, what
I like,
are you called?
Beyonce. See,
oh, you should
Jesus.
Listen to our cheese special.
Paris Stilton.
Oh, my favourite. Borsan Wells.
Borsan Wells. Yeah. See, now we need to come up with the wine matches to match them.
I know, we did. We thought of
cheese and wine matches.
Yeah. We thought of that just before. Rosé Carreras.
Yeah. Very pleased with that. Sauvignon Mat LeBlanc. Very good. Not even that fancy. So rubbish. So, but it was awful.
Still funny.
Yeah, still funny. Still funny. Anyway, sorry about this wine thing. Sorry.
I guess one of my first questions would be, what do you really get for when you pay for a wine? Or what is there much difference between a £2.50 bottle of wine and a £10 bottle of wine?
Well, first of all, £2.50 bottle of wine, you don't really get them anymore because, shocking thing, if you buy a £5 bottle of wine, about £3 of that goes on tax alone. Duty and tax alone.
All right.
So duty is now £2.90 something a bottle.
Oh, wow.
And then you add VAT on top of that, so we're over £3. And once you take out the bottle, packaging, shipping, you're left with probably less than 50p's worth of wine in a £5 bottle of wine. So if you spend even a pound more, it's likely that more of that pound is going into the quality of what's inside the bottle.
So the tax is not a percentage?
No.
Oh, it's a flat
rate. The tax stays the same. The duty bit, the £2.93, stays the same no matter how much the wine is.
It's like a taxi.
Yes.
You know, like you start off with the bottom rate and then...
Yeah, I got there.
Yes. So I could be like that.
Sometimes your allegories are a little complex, a little layered. So if you buy, like, say, a £5 bottle of wine and, like, a bottle of Ribena, Ribena is technically more expensive in terms of what you're actually buying.
Well, there's no duty on a bottle of Ribena.
Yeah.
And that is why here our duty is fairly high in this country. Like, in France, it's much lower. In most European countries, taxes are much lower on booze, but it's very high here.
Don't do the accent, Helen. I can see her thinking about it.
Oui, oui.
So do you think it is worth, then, you know, going, I could get the cheapo fiver wine, but spending like two or three extra quid, or do you need to go a tenner?
No,
like, what?
I don't think so. And I have to say, I very rarely, which is going to make me sound, you know, really cheap, which I'm not, obviously, but I very rarely spend more than £10 on a bottle of wine. Like, to me, spending over £10, that's a lot of money to spend on a bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there is a lot of good stuff, really good stuff, between £6 and £10.
Okay.
But if you go the difference between £5 and £8, you will usually taste that in the wine. It's not always true, but most of the time it is true.
So once, right, went to a posh restaurant up London and they threw me out. No, they didn't. And with a lovely PR lady. And then after the meal, she said, and after she paid the bill, she said, did you like the wine? I said, yeah, it was very nice. And she said, well, you know, it was £200 a bottle.
Oh, my God.
And I felt awful because I
you'd think this is a smart wine, but I think it's very good to taste and not know the price. Like, if I'm judging wine in a competition, you taste them blind, so you don't know what they are and what the price is. And it should be the wine that speaks for itself, always. But I think when you get to the level of £200 a bottle, the reason it's so expensive is obviously it's marked up more in a restaurant, but also there's probably less of it. You know, it's simple supply and demand type thing. So it might be that it was from a smaller domain, or, you know, estate, so it's gonna. But I think it. The main point is, do you like it or not? And I think
Point, Helen, is, am I a Philistine?
No, you're not.
Yes.
And also, you didn't pay for it.
Well, exactly. Who's winning? Who's winning?
Yeah. Wine always tastes better if it's free.
Oh, right. That's my favourite thing. Now, is there a truth? Now, we're talking about the whole restaurant thing. Is there a truth about not buying the second bottle on the menu, the second priced bottle?
Second one down.
Yeah.
Well, that is naturally where you go.
Yeah.
Because you think...
I'm not that cheap.
Yes, I'm not that cheap. Cheap, but not that cheap. But I think nowadays in restaurants are doing... A lot of them now are doing wines by the glass, and they get quite an interesting selection in the wines by the glass thing, which I love. I love places that do the half carafe, so you can order different sizes.
Oh, I love a carafe. I like a carafe.
Who needs a half, though?
Yeah.
don't waste my straw.
It means, though, that you can have half white with your starter and then half red with your main course, which I love, because if you buy a whole... My general rule is my husband and I will share a bottle. But if ever we get that second bottle, there's always going to be a row.
Yeah,
so just
don't
do the second bottle unless you're prepared to have a row on the way home. Because you're overtired. And
we would such a good life rule. Yeah. That
really is.
So I think in restaurants, The second wine down is, yeah, it is one of those things. It feels safe, but it's probably a little too safe.
Okay.
Ask them. In theory, they should have enough wines open. Don't be afraid to go in and ask if you can try a little bit of something to see what you like in first. Because if they've got a bottle open, they should give you a little taste.
Yeah, even if you're like in Nando's, say.
probably not Nando's.
Oh, they've got a wonderful sommelier in the Catford one. Yeah, I recommend it. Get yourself down there.
I'll have to go and suss it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Marvellous cellar in Kensal Rise. Kensal Rise, Nando's, wonderful. So let's say you go in the supermarket and you're confronted with literally hundreds of wines and billions of special offers and all sorts. Where do you start to make a choice?
Well, obviously, my book will tell you exactly how to decode a wall of wine. The reason why I wrote it was because, obviously, before when I was working as a wine bar, I knew the shelves, I knew the wines inside out. Then when I wasn't doing that job anymore and I was shopping in other places, I suddenly realised what it feels like to stand in front of a wall of wine and literally not know where to go, what to look for. So I think one tip is, if you're in a supermarket, don't dismiss the own label ranges, because they do tend to source them from good wineries. So if you like Merlot, for example, which is, there's nothing to, Merlot's good.
I'm not proud of it, Helen. Don't patronise me.
Merlot's good. I love a Merlot.
Do you?
Yes.
I like Lambrusco.
Do you
love a sparkling red.
Do you know Lambrusco is the hot wine of the moment?
She's so on trend.
I do, yeah. I am.
The real red Lambruscos, the dry, original red Lambruscos.
Oh.
Yeah, they're in a few pizza places are doing, putting them on the list now, because it does go brilliantly with pizza.
Yes.
Who knew?
Another classy thing.
Sparkling red wine and pizza. You heard it here first.
So, for example, like the Sainsbury's do like a house collection.
Their house range is really good, but also their Taste the Difference range. Mm. So that is like the smarter range. So Tesco its finest, Morrison's have got, I love their names, Morrison's have got one called The Best, which is a bit conceited.
Oh, nice.
I think
think Morrison's, think superior.
Aldi is called Exquisite Collection.
Oh, I love
you
that.
Like that one.
I've got some lingerie with a similar name.
Asda's is called Extra Special, quite down to earth.
Can you bring out the extra special wine?
Extra special wine.
It's my birthday.
But I have to say, those ranges often offer really good value for money. So if you like Merlot, go and have a forage in the own label section, see what you find.
That is a very good tip.
Now, recording the podcast, we do get through quite a lot of wine, don't we, Helen?
We do.
Now, we often like to economise by buying what I would call it a box wine. You would call it...
Goon bag. Box of goon.
Yeah. So in Australia, am I right in thinking that also they are more generally known as well as cask wines?
Yeah, cask wine, that's
now,
right.
Now, cask wine sounds so much nicer than bag in box. We call them bag in box here, which makes them sound horrible. So it means
like boiling
that...
boiling the bag stew
or
something.
Yes, yeah. But actually, there are some really good bag-in-box wines out there. It's just that we still have this amazing tradition in this country of putting them in really horrible looking boxes.
So
it all looks really cheap and nasty, and actually it's not.
No, I like a wine in a box.
Isn't it true though as well, with goon bags you can then blow up the bag afterwards and use it as a pillow?
That's right.
That's nice.
That's right. Or you take the box off, pop it in your handbag, go to the pub.
Yes.
And then you just do a little...
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you can blow it up afterwards, put it up your top and get a tube on the seat on the way home.
Oh, my God. These are the top tips I need.
Ingenious. You too. Dragon's Den beckons. The two Helens.
Do you think it'll fly?
Yeah.
Give it a go. Let's see.
I'm it.
Jeffrey and stormy face. Get out.
Is that the grumpy one?
Yeah.
She's very grumpy.
She's vicious, isn't she? Off a nettle. Anyway, so...
Now, Ellie and I, we love sparkling wine. That is our favourite. And I think I've just said, I love a very much an Aussie sparkling red as well.
Sparkling Shiraz.
Sparkling Shiraz. Champagne, Prosecco or Cava. What's your choice?
I think it's pronounced Savar.
It's not.
I just wanted to see your face.
I often mispronouncing. It's just like yesterday, I wanted to get some ice cream and I called it pistachio. And Ellie fell off the chair.
Pistachio.
And the mint shock ship.
I love living in this country.
So, champagne, Prosecco or Cava. Which one, if I had to choose one?
Yes, all those.
I have to say, it would have to be champagne.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because it
Because you're posh.
It tastes... I think it tastes... It's my favourite taste of all of them. Prosecco is brilliant in that it's kind of like instant gratification. It's fresh and frothy and fizzy and fun and perks you up no end.
Yeah.
But it's the Helen Thorne of wine.
Not much dip.
I didn't say that.
She said it with her eyes.
But the more substantial carver.
Yeah.
Or, yes, of her.
Bit boring. Yeah. Go on, just say it. Bit uptight.
Very studious.
Carver is made in the same way as champagne, which is that it's fermented for the second time in the bottle, which gives it a more integrated bubble, if you like. So it is about the taste, and I think the smartest interpretation of bottle fermented wines is champagne. Combination of region and grapes, made from three lovely grapes, just fabulous.
What's your favourite brand of champagne? Champagne.
Well, it kind of, it depends, on who's buying. I'm not buying, it's the expensive ones. But I would say probably, actually, when we got married, we were given a bottle of 1988 vintage Krug, which we then didn't open until after I'd just had George, my first baby. Not like minutes after, but half an hour after, I'd say. But the funny thing is, because I remember exactly how I felt when I drank that particular champagne, which was obviously euphoric and just a little bit in pain. But that taste for me is just a taste of happiness. So I would have to say that one.
So, we have a bit of an exciting announcement, don't we, on the podcast
we
today.
Do, Ellie.
Well, I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I am having another baby!
Yay!
And it is my husband!
Yay!
As far as we know. So, I'm very excited about that. But obviously, I'm very disappointed that it means I can't drink a lot for the next sort of 6 months. So, I'm gonna do the thing where you're allowed like one drink a week,
yes.
Right? So I feel like I'm on a desert island.
Yes,
right?
You are.
What should I have for my desert island wine? What should I have for my one glass a week?
Well, I would suggest that you make it a different glass every week.
Oh.
And I'll have the rest.
But use it as a time to try out different things. So if you have a starting point, like if you were going to have a glass of white wine now, what would it be? Would you be Sauvignon Blanc?
Oh, it'd be a pint. Oh, sorry.
Have you got a favourite grape? Sauvignon Blanc. Do you like crisp white?
Is that a grape? Yes, I like.
Do you like crisp white?
White seedless.
White seedless. Thompson seedless.
Straight from the fridge.
Sorry, I am taking this seriously. I'm taking this seriously.
She likes a Pinot Grigio.
Crisp, aromatic whites you like. Fresh gooseberry.
Yes, I'm learning it, but I like that.
So then I would give you a list of other grapes that are similar but different for you to go and try. That you can find easily in your supermarket. Local supermarket.
The next 6 months are going to be fun.
Yes. It's called homework. Research.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the wine chat. Should we do some food chat, Helen?
Is this where you put some nibbles on the table?
Well, sorry.
Oh, look at those amazing nibbles.
Do you know, there's a dusting of tobacco on this table.
That's the best of all vine.
Yeah, which is really nice. You can lick that up. Food. Every time I try to do a jingle, it always sounds like moodbig.com.
That's all right. That's your brand. That's your, again, cultural
food privilege. Food chat.
It's food chat time. Yes. How's that?
Yeah, lovely.
Are you glad you came on this podcast?
Are you having a lovely time? Yes, I am.
That makes one of us. So
she's so grumpy now that she's not an alcoholic.
I know. Oh my God, I really miss
doesn't
drinking.
Doesn't take the edge off anymore, does it?
Now, is it really true that you have to have white wine with fish and red wine with meat? And how important is food pairing, really?
Well, it's kind of as important if the flavours are going to be made better with the wine combination. If you've gone to all the time and trouble to cook something lovely, why cover all those flavours up with the wrong wine? So I think of it like, why, if you just think of wine as being like a sauce to go with the food.
Like a ketchup.
It is. It's the ketchup bit. But it's a, you know, like if you have a steak, there are some sauces that go with it and some that don't.
Like,
so it's
strawberry.
The same with strawberry and steak is not going to work.
No. Pistachio, though.
Sprinkling of pistachio.
They're like twins.
Hold up. Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So it's a bit of a myth that there are all these, you know, rules of wine and food matching. The fact is there are so many different possible combinations that will work. That's the best bit. What you've got to do is go and find those out. And it's not a very nice experience if you have cooked something lovely and then the wine just covers up all the flavour, or vice versa, the food is so strong that you can't even taste the wine.
Yeah, and that's good.
So how do you do it? How do you match up? Well, by your book again.
Yes, it's all in the book. But the general rule of thumb is right. You know, the kind of white with white meats and fish, red with red. You can see why that works. But there are lots of different ways of doing it. So actually, if you've got something like salmon, which is a bit more meaty, especially if it's then a bit spicy, then you can go into red wines with it. Like Pinot Noir from New Zealand or Burgundy works brilliantly with salmon, and that's a red wine. Rosé is a brilliant food wine because actually it can cope with a bit of spice, gentle spice. So anything Asian, rosé works really well. Yum. Those lovely dry rosés from Provence in the south of France, if you think of anything that you might actually eat were you there on holiday, like a, you know, big tomato salad or prawns, or they all go really well with rosé. So one good thing to remember is if you have got a local food, there is usually a local wine to go with it. Not in this country, obviously, so we haven't got enough wine yet, but if you take something like goat's cheese in France, that it comes from a town called Chavignol, which is quite famous for its goat's cheese, and the village is next door to Sancerre, where they make the Sancerre wine, which is made from Sauvignon Blanc, and that is the most divine food and wine combination on the doorstep. It's like a big clue.
Well, let me, if I could just quickly put you on the spot a bit, but I'm going to throw at you some typical meals that we might have in my house, and you tell me a wine I should be pairing with them, okay? Frey Bentos steak and ale pie.
You need a good, juicy Australian Shiraz.
Hey! And just drink that and throw away the pie.
Yes!
What about an entire packet of Herta Beechwood smoked Frankfurt?
Oh my god.
I know, it's dreamy, isn't it?
It's a texture thing for me. I can't eat those.
Oh no, they're not like the tin ones, the ones that come in the refrigerator.
The one in
they're
a bit vacuum meatier. Packed. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, still no.
I'll be leaving.
I would go for a light red. Ooh. So something with a bit of tannin but not too much. So I'm thinking probably a Beaujolais Village or a Merlot. You could go with your Merlot for those.
Merlot and Frank's. Friday
Merlot
night
Frank's.
Treat.
There you go.
Helen, have you got any...
I like a cheesy pasta. So you just boil up the cheese and... Boil up the cheese.
Yeah, boil up the cheese, throw the pasta out the window, eat the cheese.
Sprinkle the pasta on the top.
Break a couple of spaghettis on the top.
So I think cheesy pasta is good with quite a ripe round white. Mm-hmm. So I would go with an Italian.
Yes.
Fiano. Fiano is the grape.
Fiano.
And they do a good Fiano in Sicily.
Ooh.
Yeah. So go for an Italian.
You could call your daughter that.
Fiano.
Fiano, get down these stairs now. I should tell you again. Hello. And you. Leave your sister alone. Yeah, no, that's inspiring.
That's very good.
What about the Scummy Mummy's classic, a fish finger? What to drink with a fish finger?
Other than a cup of tea.
Yeah.
I think with a fish finger, probably white again, but something with a quite a good ripe apple-y flavour to it. So maybe something like a Chardonnay or a rosé. Rosé with the fish finger.
Very nice.
Dip it in. Yes. like your ketchup. Yeah. We're back to ketchup.
A tea biscuit and a cup of tea. Fish finger and a glass of rosé.
Now, do you love a wine snack, Helen? Like, we're talking about full meals, but what is your favourite little snack etch you like to have with a wine?
Because I know you said to avoid hangovers, it's important to eat wine.
You've got
to
eat. Well, I have to say, because wine always tastes better with food, always, because it makes the taste buds work. And wine's got, you know, there's acidity in there, and if you drink it, your mouth waters, and you need something to counteract the acidity, something salty, which is why olives is so good with anything, any white or rosé. Olive, bowl of posh crisps.
Oh, lovely. I like a beetroot crisp.
Do you?
You know, like a Tyrrell's, you know, mixed vegetable crisp.
I don't like the smell of kale crisps. A lady was eating a packet of M&S kale crisps on the tube.
What's the point?
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah.
It's a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah.
Sorry, I must remember I'm at festival.
Yes. Kale crisps, they're the worst things I've ever eaten in my whole life.
Aren't they?
They're just like, they're horrible. They get stuck in all your mouth.
This is how much people hate kale crisps, listeners. People who aren't even on the podcast are joining in on the other side of the tent to tell us about peppers. No, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. It's not live. Don't panic. No, what's your name?
I'm Jodie Ann
Bickley hates kale crisps.
She does.
Because I got from your book, in your book you suggest salted almonds.
Yes.
With a particular wine. And I thought, oh, I'll try that. And now I cannot stop eating salted almonds.
I know, it's dangerous.
So thanks for that. They're really expensive and really
fatty. Well, even worse, macadamia nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Macadamia nuts and white are just delicious. And I had a little jar of them and they don't last very long. But they're brilliant with wine.
Have you tried the BBQ smokehouse, the Blue Diamond smokehouse almonds?
Oh my god!
We like those nuts.
Where
don't
do I
we?
Get those?
The Trows.
The Trows.
Yeah. So there's always that thing about, oh, I've got some leftover crap wine. I'll chuck it in my spaghetti bolognese.
Yeah.
But should we be putting crap wine in our food to cook with? Like with you?
My theory is, unless you're using an entire bottle of wine, which you only do if you make, one of Nigella's stews. She puts a whole.
She makes a lovely wine soup. Yes. Gently warm, 3 bottles of Chardonnay for an hour, and then just put a straw in.
Yeah, it was a star anise.
That's mulled wine. Yes.
That's for Christmas.
Sorry.
Christmas with Nigella.
4 bottles of wine. And
unless you're using a whole bottle, you're normally adding a splash, right? Mm. Or a dash, or a slug, or a lug.
Or a slash.
Or a slash, one of those.
A nip.
A nip.
That's a nice word.
I just spat all over the table. I'm so sorry.
Got very excited about the nip.
I just like saying nip.
So if you are just adding a little bit of wine, then obviously you're going to have to drink the rest of it. Yeah. So the whole thing about use any old rubbish, I think, is ridiculous, because then you've got to drink the rest of the any old rubbish. You might as well use a wine that you're then going to go on and drink. So if I'm making spaghetti bolognese, I just use a glug of the bottle of wine that we will be drinking later on that evening.
But what if you've got, so you've had it, you have a couple of glasses of wine, and then there's some left in the bottle, so you stick it in the fridge or on the side. What's the shelf life of that for cooking? Like, can it, I have been known to like have a quarter of a bottle of wine left for about 6 months and
just
then
in
throw
case.
It in a pasta sauce.
No.
Helen's saying no.
No,
she's looking at me like I've just told her that I don't wipe my baby's bottom. Like,
The baby's bottom thing is fine. Just don't leave wine in the bottle for that long, right?
Right.
Because it oxidises, so it starts to turn to sherry. And so it does have quite a strong flavour to it by then, which is a not very nice flavour. So if you go and put it in the cooking, that might come through.
So just a few days, you reckon? For the
5 days.
Five days. Right.
I don't often have a quarter of a bottle of red wine left, though, I don't think.
Well, you're not pregnant.
Yeah. Yes.
You need safe drinking. Just the 3 glasses a day for me. We've sort of got a funny story about the old cooking wine, haven't we?
We do.
Do you want to talk about it if you don't want to?
No. Okay, so we're staying at Ellie's mother-in-law's house, and we'd recorded a podcast somewhere else and came back there, and we were already under the table. So we ate all their cheese, drank all their wine, and then about...
Yeah, it was like half a bottle. And I thought, oh, that must have been what they had with dinner. And we scoffed the wine.
Yeah. Yeah, and about 2 a.m., Ellie got up for a wee, and that woke me up, and I went,
oh no, oh dear. And I just really needed to be sick, but Ellie was having a wee in the loo. So instead of vomiting into a toilet, I just decided to vomit all over the house.
Oh God.
Do you know what the really funny thing is?
Yeah.
I wasn't even going to mention the vomiting. I was going to tell the other bit of the story.
What was that bit?
No, I like that you shared that. I'll let you decide later whether or not I edit that out.
Okay, great, okay.
But please don't edit that.
So, that was, but my mother-in-law was so lovely about it, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was.
It was very comforting.
Yeah, the next day while I was on my hands and knees scrubbing her carpet, her duvet, her squirting boards and her doorknobs and ceiling.
Her son. Yeah, grandchild. And then, like a couple of days later, I suddenly remembered that in our state, Helen and I had eaten an entire cheese board in my presence. So I spoke to my father-in-law and I said, "Look, Jeff, I'm really sorry that we ate all the cheese." And he went, "Oh no, not to worry about that. It's the wine." And I was like, "Oh my God, was it like special wine? I'm really sorry." And he went, "No, it's just that it was for cooking and it had been sitting out on the windowsill for about 8 months." And we hadn't even read, which might have been something to do with the fact that you were so ill.
Yeah, and I drank about 4 bottles of wine.
It might have been that.
Yeah, and the pork scratchings.
And the pork scratchings. Yeah,
could have been that.
That's My Wine Shame by Helen Thorne.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Do you feel better now?
Yeah, I've really got it all out. Finally, all out.
Exercised it.
Oh, I know. It was the first time I'd met Ellie's parents-in-law. It's like she brought me home, like the new girlfriend.
Lasting impression.
Yeah, that's it. It's my comedy partner.
Isn't she funny? She has an amazing sick trick. See it.
She's the punchline. Ceiling.
It was very funny.
So, speaking of drinking too much,
how
is there a way to avoid hangovers by choosing what we drink? Are there certain wines that are better or worse for that sort of thing?
The best thing you can do, just remember to drink. It sounds like a public health broadcast, but if you drink water with wine, because wine dehydrates you and it's the dehydrating bit that gives you a headache. Right. So drink lots of water.
So it's not to do with cheap wine or crap in the wine or...
Some say that the cheaper stuff... Yeah, the cheaper stuff has just got more kind of unnatural stuff in there. Mm, mm. So that might then, not feel so great. But I think generally it is about... it's about the volume drunk. Really, and make sure you eat lots of food as well.
More fried chicken
when you drink.
Do you know, I thank you very much. I was really hoping you would come with some magic pill, like, if you drink this 1997 Cote d'Aron, you'll never get a hangover. You can drink 8 bottles.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Is it?
Oh, brilliant. Oh,
so glad you came.
There's the reveal.
Yeah, absolutely true.
So, we're going to play a game called Can You Judge a Wine by Its Label?
Ooh.
Sorry, Ellie and I have scanned the internet for some funny wine names, but we've also made some up, and we were going to test you to see whether you knew the real or the fake.
Okay.
All right.
I can tell you're very excited.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
All right.
When can I go? You said there'd be snacks.
I've eaten all the tobacco on the table.
So smoky. All right. Now, wine number one, is this real or fake?
Fairy's Tears. Is that real or fake?
Real or fake? Oh, Fairy's Tears. I'm going to go real because I want it to be true.
That is fake.
Oh, that's a scummy mummy.
It does
mummy.
Sound like something you should be able to buy at
you
Camp
should,
Festival.
You should get Fairy's Tears.
No, it's not.
Okay, next one. No way, Rosé.
Really?
Real or fake?
Please tell me that's fake.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, went
to Helen McGinn.
How about 10 Minutes by Tractor?
That's real. I've had that.
Oh, what's it like?
It's delicious.
Oh. It's around the corner from my parents' house.
Yeah.
How about this one? Dave's Finger.
Oh, my God.
I think she's on the point of walking out. I think we might have done it.
I think we've done it now.
Dave's Finger.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go real.
No, it's the scummy mummy one. That would be the Dave's Finger. It's a good after dinner thing.
Oh dear.
Passing Clouds.
Real.
See, I like that one.
Yeah.
It's an Australian one, but it sounds like farting.
Yeah.
And also, what happens when you get a kidney infection? Tribute to your favourite of mine, Livy. Xanadu Estate.
That's true.
Oh, that is true. She knows her stuff.
Olivia Newton-John's own wine.
It is. No.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it really?
No. I do think she has got a vineyard. I don't know whether it's that one, but she definitely makes a wine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, hers is called Sandy's Creek.
And she has a sparkling called Let's Get Physical.
She's on it. Wizard Sleeve.
True?
No!
I'm keeping telling.
Have you not heard the expression like a wizard sleeve before?
No, what's it mean?
It's a euphemism for f***ies. If you've got an old f***, it's like a wizard sleeve.
Oh my god, I've learnt something. Really, I'm not drinking wizard sleeve.
Next one, mouse's ear. No, I'm joking. Joking.
And the scores are in, and Helen McGinn has won.
Oh, thank you very much. The internationally successful wine expert knows more about wine than me and Helen Thorne. It's a shocking result.
If anyone wants to produce Dave's finger wine,
no, I'm having wizard sleeve.
Wizard sleeve.
Only available in large glasses. Well, seeing as that was such a fun game, let's talk about drinking games.
drinking games. I had to do hand motions with that too, didn't I? Just to make it. Yeah.
No, it's nice. It works really well on a podcast.
Comes alive in audio. Good.
Have you got a favourite drinking game then?
Well, we used to play a game called the Century Club or the Centurion Club. Have you played that?
No.
So.
Oh, is that with 100 canisters?
Yeah, so you have 100 shots of beer. So if you did 100 shots,
it's not a game for two, aren't
you? No. So you're going to take it. You take it in turns, and the winner is the person who gets 100 shots. But if you have a wee or do a sick, then you're out.
Oh god, that sounds lovely. Yeah, we played that at my wedding.
Your dad loved it.
Yeah. My friend Simon had a party once, and he had this thing called like drinking roulette, where you get the film canisters and you fill them with, some of them just got water in, some have got absinthe, some have got wine, like all, yeah, it's weird, right? I came up with this idea called White Russian Roulette, right? Where you get 12 friends and 12 film canisters, you fill 11 of them with White Russian, very nice cocktail.
What's in the 12?
Breast milk.
Oh. Surprise, surprise, she's got it now.
No one would play it with me. I was very disappointed. I think that's a fun game. Well, I've got it with me now. Now, you've been drinking with celebrities.
I have, yes.
Who are your favourite celebrities to get smashed up with?
Well, hilariously, when I was doing the Ellen Titchmarsh show, quite a lot of them I couldn't drink with, because I was told beforehand they don't drink.
Oh.
Do not do the wine tasting with Santa. I couldn't possibly tell you who.
Ooh.
But it was
Princess Anne. Princess Anne. She doesn't drink anymore.
Yeah, she doesn't drink anymore. Exactly. But I think my two that were really fun. One was the whole of Atomic Kitten, which I loved.
That's cool.
Including Kerry.
The original lineup.
The original lineup.
Original and best, let's face facts.
Original and best. And they were all gorgeous. Kerry wasn't drinking because she was pregnant. And actually, I don't think she drinks at all. She was one of them, she doesn't drink. But the other two, they
smashed it right up.
They tucked in and they were really lovely. And obviously, I used to do a killer rendition of Hole Again with my girlfriends into wooden spoons with changed lyrics, but I held back from telling them that. Luckily.
Could you sing that for us now, though?
Only if you've got a wooden spoon. It doesn't work otherwise.
Oh no! I left it back at the tent.
And the other one that I loved was Adamant, just because he loved his wine and he was really sweet, you know,
he
wanted to know
gorgeous.
All about it. He was such a lovely man.
We've come to my favourite part of the podcast, which is, of course, Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Hooray!
Now, can I just kick off, because I love this story that I'm going to say, if that makes any sense. The other day I was in London, just near London Bridge, and we got absolutely rained all over. We were covered in rain? We were wet. That's the right turn of phrase. Anyway, so I nipped into Next to get changed, and there was like three of us, me and my two kids, in the very tiny change room. And Matilda decided singing while I was getting a change, like, just take your clothes off. And then she spontaneously broke in, oh, the single ladies! Oh, the single ladies! And then all the, like, you could hear all the women sort of tittering in the background.
Oh.
And then for some reason in an American accent, my daughter went, "Oh my god, my knickers are wet." Which meant, I know, that was my scummy day out.
Oh
well.
Bless.
Yes. Have you got a scummy mummy confession, Helen?
I think probably my most uncomfortable one, recent one, because there are lots, but like, was when I went into school to pick up my youngest, Alice, who's 5, and her teacher took me to one side and said, "Nothing to worry about, but we were just really interested. What is it? Do you work? And what is it you do?" And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because Alice talks about mummy liking wine." So I was quite relieved when I was able to assure her. That's right, she said, "Mummy drinks wine during the day." That's what she said. And of course, at home, if I'm doing a tasting, they do come home and there are wines open all over the place, yeah, on the kitchen table. So I think she was quite suspicious, which is why it was then really handy when I did do the telly bit, because then she had to see I wasn't making it up. I wasn't just saying, "Oh yeah, I work in wine."
Yes, sure.
Mummy's working again.
Yeah, mummy's working again.
Oh, that ties in nicely actually with our listener confession for this episode, because yesterday Helen and I did the Scummy Mummy show live on stage here at Ken Festival, and we get audience members to write down their Scummy Mummy confessions and then we read them out. And one of my favourite ones from yesterday was, "The first card that my son ever made me was, 'Get over your hangover soon.'" So my own confession is not really wine related, unfortunately. It's just sort of silly, really. So I've taken to, with my, I've blown up like a balloon, quite frankly.
You haven't.
With this baby. Well, I'm wearing control pants. So to entertain my existing child, as it were, my pre-existing child, I've taken to drawing a clown's face on it and sticking a cherry tomato in the belly button. Which he and I both think is hilarious with our combined age of 39. We think it's the funniest thing that's ever happened. And then a few nights ago, me and my husband decided to have some sexy time.
Did you?
So I thought I'd make a bit of an effort, put me nice nighty on. You know, he put the lights down low, a bit of soft music, all very romantic. And, you know, we're there and he very, you know, gingerly and sexily lifted up my nighty to be confronted with a clown's face.
Please tell me you've taken out the cherry tomato.
I had. There was just a solitary pip left from where Charlie had squashed it in.
A bit of residue. Bit of sauce.
It was not a sexy moment.
It was not a sexy moment. Did the clown's face look sad?
Everybody's face looked sad.
A little tear.
And like nobody said anything. We both sort of just looked away and I pulled my nightie down. We carried on. And then later on I was like, "Did you notice?" And he was like, "Yeah, I just decided not to say anything." I was like, "Yeah, good, me neither."
I think you should make that as a bit of a surprise. You could do like celebrity
different
faces.
One next time.
Yes.
I could do his ex-girlfriend. That'd be a surprise.
"Why won't you call me?"
Yeah, little miss,
like she's actually here in the room.
"Have you done the dishwasher yet? If not, stop here."
It's just like the to-do list on your tummy.
Yeah, that's right. Tick, 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 boom.
Oh, well, thank you for that. And
thank you so much,
Helen McGinn, for being a wonderful, wonderful guest and a wonderful author. We do love your book. It is called...
The Knackered Mother's Wine Club Book. Now, how do people find you, Helen?
So the blog is knackeredmotherswineclub.com.
Mm-hmm.
The book, obviously, and I'm on Twitter as at Knackered Mother, but M-U-T-H-A.
Ooh,
because when I set it up as Knackered Mother, normal spelling, 2 minutes later I forgot the password, so I've never been able to use it.
I thought you were just being really edgy. She's so with the kids.
No.
Forgot
the password.
She's got a short-term memory problem. Okay.
So I'm on there, and Facebook as well. So the blog is every week, a couple of wine recommendations on there. So
yeah, we both subscribe and we love it. So thank you very much.
Good, thank you.
And thank you, Camp Festival, for having us.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening. You can follow us on the Twitter. We're at Scummy Mummies. We're on the Facebook, Scummy Mummies podcast.
Yes.
Why do I always struggle with that?
I don't know.
I'm an idiot. And we've got various shows and exciting things coming up, so do check out scummymummies.com for more on that.
And for those in Manchester, we're going to come to you, and in Bristol in October, so look at the website, scummymummies.com.
Yep.
We're on tour.
We are.
With a pregnant woman.
We're on something. I think that's pretty clear.
Merlot.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Helen McGinn. You've been fabulous. And thank you, Thorn.
No worries.
Thank you very much.
Two Helens are better than one.
Sometimes. All right, until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I love that you actually wave at people.
There are no people in there.
We do it every time.
What are you talking about? We Skype that. That's gone out to millions of people. That's got more viewers than Titchmarsh.
Yeah, exactly.
That, Mr.
Who
Tumble?
Is Mr. Tumble anyway?
Right. Yeah,
no one.
Yeah, we do actually wave at people when we say goodbye. There you are. That's behind the curtain. We've broken the fourth wall now.
Brilliant. I love that. When I listen to it from now on, I'll know that you're waving. Yeah. And do you know what? I'll wave back.
Oh, Helen.
I'll wave back.
Right, I'll do two fingers next time just to mess with you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase.